time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got now.
Radio at freedomslips.com. Hold on to the edge of your seats because you are in for quite the ride. It's time for the Granada Forum Radio Show. Right now, live on air with your host, Granada Wendy.
All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Granada Forum Radio Program. This is Revolution Radio. We are the number one commercial-free listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. We're located at freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips, S-L-I-P-S.com, or revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio. If you'd like to leave equivalent to a cup of coffee, please go to the homepage and do so. We appreciate to keep the paid programming on the air. Also, you can advertise on Revolution Radio. We meet a lot of friends, and it's very inexpensive, so we thank you for that too. So check that out also at the homepage. All right. By the way, I want to thank my wonderful producer, my partner in crime, Mr. Nick Pearson.
Hey, hey.
Troublemaker.
Okay. And we want to thank. Yeah, there you go.
Troublemaker.
We also want to mention Monster 383 for what all he does for us. Thank you so much behind the scenes. Also, too, we'd like to thank Marsha and there's one other person I can't and Red. Thank you very much. Red, if you're out there, we've been trying to get a hold of you, but we figured you've been busy, so give us a call and we'll touch base again. I've got a couple things up our sleeves we have to talk to you about. Okay. We have John Graff on with us tonight.
Howdy, howdy.
And Paris.
Hi there.
And by the way, we will be having Mark on at 8, so we're going to play some clips and give a round table tonight. But we have some great clips, so that'll be a lot of fun. So we're going to pass the baton to John real quick and to Paris. So, John, you're up first.
Okay. All right. Just telling you what I'm noticing. I'm noticing many spray jobs.
Yeah.
Lately, a lot. But what I'm really noticing more than anything now, and I'm catching this every day, is vehicles that are Southwest Airline, but they're everywhere they've never been before. I'm catching them spraying. I'm catching them going across our neighborhoods, which they've never been before, and they're all over the place now. It's the same Southwest. I don't know exactly what's going on, but most of the ones that I am catching that are dumping lots of material are them. Whether they're mimics or they're painted like them, I don't know, but they're out of their flight zone, because I know the flight zone. I've been here for 50 years or whatever. I know where they fly. and they're everywhere now. So just be on the lookout for them, because they are there, and they are the ones doing a lot of this, as far as I can see so far. I got them on camera 100 times easily just in the past couple of weeks.
John, do you have the website? Give out your website real quick.
John Graff, YouTube, JohnGraff, YouTube, and that's pretty much it. And you're going to see a lot of what's going on here. You know, I do things about the muzzles and the this and that, but I'm really checking the air lately. It's just everything has been replaced. The clouds that we used to grow up with the teddy bear, this and da-da-da-da, these are all been replaced by, I don't know what it is. It doesn't look like Earth anymore. The sunsets are hideous. They are hideous, and I watched them make them, and everybody's going, oh, my darling. No, it's not. So people got to pay attention. Their sunsets are being made, and they're toxic, and it's sad, but it's true.
Well, we used to do this thing when I was in film school there. You had to go out as part of your project, and you had to catch a sunset on camera.
Okay.
And we were using, you know, digital, you know, the old crappy mini DVs and film to catch them, see which one and compare the two of them and all kinds of different stuff. So we'd go up to Mulholland Drive or something, or go down to the beach and catch the sunset with all the real clouds when there were real clouds hanging out.
Yeah, back in the day.
And the sunsets looked fantastic. I mean, they're
right.
Absolutely great. Now it looks like somebody took a brush over the top of one of Bob Ross's paintings and just wiped everything sideways and just blurred the hell out.
Yeah, you see the definite lines that are going across. I mean, I watched them from morning to night and make these things. I watched them. I mean, I'm like a mental patient out there going, oh, I can see what this sunset's going to look like. And it always does. You know, and they're making them. I mean, I don't know how you can miss it. If you're paying attention to what's going on, but
and then on one day when last week when I met you guys down at Santa Monica Pier,
yeah, that was awesome.
It was a very very nice clear day out. The sun was shining really bright. It reminded you of some of those older days when you could actually see stuff in the sky.
Yeah,
and people were still out there putting the damn mouth diaper on.
Oh, they still have the old Kotex on.
You gotta be kidding me with this. It's right next to the ocean, which is the best air you can breathe. Perfectly clear day, and these people with their kids even were face covered up, and it's like you people are absolutely insane.
Well, they are. They're under a spell. They got Linus blanketitis. They've just gotten a camp.
But I bet you if you ask these same people, did you ever hear about chemtrails? They'd have no idea what you were talking about.
Even if you were pointing to them.
Uh-huh.
No, they would not know.
That's a contrail. You don't know what you're talking about.
It's true. It's. I did that today. I was talking to people about that stuff. They were wearing the double mask, which I lose my mind on that one. I'm okay with a single, but when you got two and you're doing hand sanitizer for a half hour in front of a market, come on, man. Really. It's just Earl Shine. People paint the whole body.
Did we mention on the air about that that sulfur smell that happened, the Dominguez, whatever, John?
Oh,
Carson.
Did we talk about that? Because it's got like 100 different excuses why that's going on.
No, I don't think we did.
Well, I got a letter in the mail, Nick, and you know what it said? It referred to a specific like beauty factory, I guess, like an industrial warehouse.
But, hey, Paris
produces.
Yes.
Yes, I know what it said because I snoop through your mail all the time.
Oh, yes.
That was you?
Yeah, that was me, yeah.
Where's my stimulus check? Just kidding.
Oh, don't worry. That's already gone.
You spent it.
Yeah, that whole $600. Anyways, it turns out that this plant that they're referring to that caught on fire – and, you know, and created a bunch of, you know, atmospheric issues and a sulfur smell. It was a hand sanitizer plant.
Well,
don't you find that? Don't you find that? Because what they were doing, the reason why I got the letter is because it was a major lawsuit because people are developing cancer. So if you don't think that hand sanitizer causes cancer, that letter right there shows it.
So do you have a copy of that letter?
Yeah, I have a copy of it. Yeah, I didn't throw it away. And they were having people go door to door offering air purifiers to the people, or like hotel rooms out of the town and everything. It's a big deal, but my point is it came from a hand sanitizer plant. So it's like openly it being admitted
that was hand sanitizer.
They did. Well, I have it written down. I have it written down. I'll find it for you. It's a certain kind of chemical. But the FDA did take 75 of those hand sanitizers off the market for causing cancer, but the people don't know that.
Wow.
You have to go on the website and look at it.
You want to get some hand sanitizer without buying all that other crap with all the extra stuff in it? Just go buy a bottle of vodka and stick it in your freezer.
That's right.
And then tap the alcohol
out. That could be used for a few different. It's the sanitizer contained benzene acetaldehyde, something like that, which are cancer-causing chemicals. Portions of the debris entered the Dominguez Channel, where vegetation began to decay at alarming rates while releasing large amounts of hydrogen sulfate into the neighboring cities. So people are having unexplained bruising and bleeding, headaches, lightheadedness, skin, eye irritation, congestion, change in bowel habits, nausea, weight changes, dizziness, and nosebleeds. These people are suing.
Well, yeah, they can sue all they want to. It's a little late now.
Yeah, they got cancer bowels.
I mean, they did this thing. God, what was it, like 8 years ago or 9 years ago? I think at this point. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons. Another reason I despise the VA. The place down in West Los Angeles, West LA.
Mm-hmm.
They have the big VA hospital down there. Now, they used to have a burn pit there. I don't know if it's still there anymore, but they used to have a big pit where they would dispose of medical waste. Well, what they didn't tell anybody is they were disposing of radioactive medical waste.
Oh, good.
Mm.
And then the pit caught on fire. And all the smoke and the ash went all over the sides of the VA building and down the street into everybody else's place, and hazmat people came by and they tested and said, yeah, there's radioactivity all over the place. So, you know, it's not just chemtrails we got to worry about. It's this waste disposal problem that they have, too, with all this radioactive stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll just get cancer and die.
The thing is, too, about class action lawsuits is everybody thinks, great. Well, I found out recently once a class action lawsuit goes through, they can never be sued again. So if you take into consideration, say, Monsanto or whoever is getting – are they the ones getting sued for the glyphosate?
Yeah.
So whoever's doing the glyphosate – well, it's a very, very minuscule amount, even if it's in the billions compared to what they're really making. So they'll continue on with it. Everybody will get their $40 check for the cancer that they got caused from glyphosate or whatever, yeah. And it'll be except for the person that opened the case, they'll get their $2 billion. The lawyers will get their $2 billion, and then they'll continue to use it, and you can't sue them again anymore. So that's part of the law.
That's part of the suit when you settle, they make you sign an agreement that you can't sue them again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But class action lawsuits are kind of a goof anyway, because most of the time you as one of the plaintiffs, you don't get anything. You get nothing. The lawyers make a ton of money. You get dick.
Right. You get your $40 check, right?
Yeah,
or
thank
whatever.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I've got this like massive tumor in my stomach. Can I think I could get a little bit more than $40? Nope.
Yeah. John Merrick is sitting there.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is the whole thing where they're making up. Who can you sue? You can only sue once, or you can't sue them at all. Well, who makes this up?
Their lawyers.
Jeez,
our
what
system.
A bunch of crap this is. Some system,
our
great
system.
System, huh? Yeah, I know.
John, did you get a chance to call the Conscious Life Expo?
No, I did not.
Okay.
And we talked about, I talked about it a few minutes ago before we were on the air, but they were telling me something different. But
okay, good, good.
Well, it looks like we
got. I didn't get the number. I got your number. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, you didn't?
You sent me your number. And I went, well,
no,
God.
I sent you theirs. I sent you theirs. It doesn't come up on, like, my phone number. But it's just
your
phone. Okay.
But, yeah. Okay.
But it looks like, yeah, it looks like we're going to be there. We're going to get in and see all the vendors and everybody, and we're not going to have to
do
the nasal swab. And
it looks very cool. It looks very cool.
It is cool.
It always was. It was. I don't know how it's going to be now this time because they changed a lot of stuff around.
Oh, they're going to be setting up.
It looks pretty cool. I found a magazine called, I think it's called Radiance. Yeah, it's called Radiance. They've got all kinds of cool stuff in this little magazine, but it has all the speakers and it's got a lot of the vendors in this magazine. Yeah. It looks pretty cool. It looks like it's going to be neat. There's going to be a lot of like life coaching, spiritual guiding, you know, tarot
readers. Stuff they usually have.
All kinds
they
of
usually
cool
have
stuff.
All that stuff. You know, they have all that stuff every year. It's been cool. The problem I could, because the parking was always just horrifying to me.
Like well, the said, park, yeah, you, well, it's LAX parking. What do you expect?
You park a couple miles away for $5 all day, and then you take a shuttle in. Anything.
Looks cool.
Try to park there. Ugh. I was not enjoying that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
But yeah, I know. Just leave early, you know, play it by
ear. We'll have to be, me and Wendy will be there until 9 o'clock.
Is it one day? Is it 4 days like usual, or 3 days?
Well, it's going to be like 4 days, but we're only going to be down there for the Friday night just to do the show. I mean, if she's going to go on afterwards on Saturday or Sunday, that's up to her.
Oh, you're
going to
do the show from there?
Yeah, well, we always do.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
We always grab people out who are putting up their stuff and try to pull guests out of the crowd and we do our show from there. So we get there early.
Great.
And do it, then circulate around and tell them, hey, we'll be out there in the lobby. Come do our show with us.
Oh, how fun.
That sounds fun.
Well, it was really cool. We had, we got Jordan Maxwell 1 year.
Yeah, he was there last time I was there.
Yeah, we got Susan Shumsky. Oh, she didn't come on, but we've had her on the show before. We've had, we've had quite a few people in there.
Oh, how awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, man.
So that it's always a good time.
Yeah, I'll see if I can figure out a way to slide down there. I was going to have to play the COVID game.
Just
not playing any part of that.
just follow
well,
the
I'm
game.
Still walking,
take it right to it.
I'm still walking into stores unmasked with the pearly whites, and I'm not having any problems in LA County.
I went into...
Your teeth are blinding them. They can't see you.
I went into a small store the other day to pick up some beef of some – I forget which kind. And the butcher was at the back part of the store, you know, and it was a little mom-and-pop type place. It wasn't like Smart and Final or something like that or anything. So I go into – I walk in. I go all the way to the back of the store, and I tell the guy, okay, this is what I want, and he starts making it. And the cashier came running from the front part of the store and handed me a mask. You got to wear your mask. You got to wear your mask. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, dear.
No way.
And that was that?
People.
And, well, that was it. It's like, here, I got my stuff and paid for it and left. And it's like, see ya.
You have to run it like a football out the door.
Hey, you know, I could have. The police never would have came, and I never would have got prosecuted because it was under $950.
I got to pick me out some groceries. I mean, that's really true.
It is in L.A. and San Francisco. You can walk into a store and swipe anything you want as long as it's under $950. They won't prosecute. They won't touch you. And then they wonder why crime is way out of control up here.
Don't be giving people ideas,
Nick.
I'm not the one giving them the ideas. You tell that to the district attorney, this complete retard named Gascon.
I know who he is.
I mean, he just put a pedophile in juvenile hall. a pedophile who's 26 years old now. They put him in juvenile hall for 2 years.
Oh, good move.
Yeah, good move, huh? Why? Because when he was 17, he raped a 10-year-old girl in a bathroom.
Wow.
So, hey, you not only did they light on the sentence, he put him in juvenile hall, too, which is, you know, it's just
playground.
Oh, yeah. And it's just this, and no wonder why crime is out of control.
I'm watching a series right now. It's called Dirty John on Netflix. It's about pretty much like a sociopath or maybe a psychopath, really, that just, I mean, this guy marries, well, it's based on a true story. It was one of my friend's friends that had this happen to, and it takes place in Newport Beach. He was the one that told me to watch it. This guy marries her for her money, of course, and then, you know, he gaslights her and does all the things that a narcissist does. I mean, but this guy is like a total psychopath. I mean, the things that this guy is doing to the family and everything, and then the person that he married before her was a nurse because he wanted to get into the medical industry and pretend like he was an anesthesiologist and just all this stuff. Basically, long story short, he ends up with this long record of felonies of, you know, stalking and just all kinds of horrific things he's doing to all these women. And they put him in Theo Lacy. Theo Lacy in Orange County. And he only did like 6 months on a 4-year sentence.
Oh, wow.
A couple of those felonies. And this is a psychopath. What would happen too is like he would throw himself in front of cars and get hit by them and sue the people as a kid, and then he would get an attorney a lot of times to sue, and then after that he would sue his attorney for negligence and disbar them. That's how much of a sociopath this guy is. And he's getting away with it. There's people like this. I can't believe that the story was a friend of mine, you know, like a friend of mine's best friend. He's telling me about her. And I'm like, holy crap. I can't believe this is so prevalent and it's happening everywhere. And these guys aren't doing any time. Wow.
Not any real time. It's crazy. Not anymore. No. I watched a video where this car was stopped at a stop sign or a red light or something.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they had the dash cam on, so the people who were trying to pull this off didn't get away with it. But this guy came running up, threw his bicycle at the car, and then jumped on the hood. Oh, you hit me, call the ambulance. And it's like, are you out of your mind?
Right.
Go away. I got you on camera. Yeah, he said, I got you on camera. And the guy's like, you did what? He grabbed his bike and ran away.
Wow.
I mean, that was me, actually.
I'm embarrassed. But.
People are psychotic, man. It's unreal. And the problem is these are street-level psychotics. I mean, imagine the ones we got in the government.
Right. Well, they're the ringleaders. They're the ones teaching that behavior, honestly. Yeah.
Well, it's a difference between being a professional and an amateur.
Exactly.
Professional psychopaths are in government. Amateurs are guys down in the street.
Yep.
Right. Speaking of psychopaths, what's this up with Neil Young here? I'm turning on us too, along with the list of other douchebags.
Neil Young is no longer standing against the man. He's standing up for the man.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Needle in the damage done, and now he's part of this stupid stuff. That really makes people are throwing away their albums and all that stuff. I mean, his albums, but
what was it? It was funny. He got mad because Spotify had Joe Rogan's show on, and Joe Rogan's really popular. So he said, if you don't get rid of Joe Rogan, take my music off the Spotify. And Spotify was like, yeah, okay, here you go. You're done. It's like, well, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
Number one, I was never a big Neil Young fan to begin with.
I like some of his songs. I do.
But the more he spouts off on politics, the more of an idiot he sounds like.
But is he part of the Big Pharma thing? I mean, that's what the whole thing was about.
Well, apparently he is now. You know, it's amazing to me that all these
these people that came out of the 60s and that whole movement back in the 60s when people were standing up against, you know, big government intrusion and things like that, you know, they really thought they were doing some good. They were out there thinking, you know, we are going to make some change. We don't want this massive amount of government intrusion in our lives. You know, let us live. And now they're saying, damn it, do what the government tells you. It's like, well, what the hell happened here?
Yeah, it's sort of a big turnaround here. Sellout. Yeah, it was bothering me. Because, yeah, it looks like the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz.
I was listening to Mark Boland from the 10th Amendment Center, and he was pretty good on his latest little
T-Rex.
No, Mark Boland is from the 10th Amendment Center. He founded that years ago. Okay. I've met him a couple of times.
He was talking
about how things get split up into factions, and that's what shapes everybody's opinion on everything. And it doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you could agree with somebody on everything they say perfectly. You guys have a total agreement. But if that person is in a different faction than you, you're going to disagree with them just for that alone.
Everything is all upside down.
Yeah, if you're on the wrong side.
Upside down and so wrong and so bad.
Yeah, it's like
I came across a meme today that says narcissistic personality disorder. One of the few conditions where the patient is left alone and everybody else is treated.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah. Right?
Somehow.
They're so conniving and stuff. They can get away with
everybody.
Somehow I have a feeling that Anthony Fauci is a classic case of narcissism.
Oh, God, of course he is. Yeah.
But
yeah,
one of many problems of this freak.
But the whole thing that's really funny with the whole faction thing is people who have divided themselves up into that, and our founding fathers warned us about this. Don't ignore, you know, don't go along with political parties. All they do is screw everything up. And look where we are. But they absolutely will not allow themselves to agree with you. I mean, I've talked to people years ago when I was doing the rounds for the Republicans, knocking on doors, and what a mistake that was. But you would talk to people, and you know, like some of the Latinos or some of the Black people. You would talk about family. You would talk about, you know, your rights and all these things. And they would agree with you on every point. And then they would ask you the question: "Oh, so where are you from?" "Oh, I'm from the Republican Party of Los Angeles County." Bam! They slammed the door right in your face.
Nice.
You know, and it's the most ridiculous crap because you agree on almost everything, but just because you're from the other team, they don't
labeled,
want to
labeled, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely effing stupid. It's like the whole chemtrail thing. Oh,
it happens.
Yeah, you've been labeled as a conspiracy theorist of some sort, and then so suddenly that shuts a lot of people off to you. Oh, you're not with me. You're not on my team, so we're not going to listen.
Even words shut down the minds of many. I mean, you have to be careful. I mean, that's why, like, you say the word astrology and someone freaks out. So Pro started using the word sky clock just to kind of, you know, keep your ears open
awesome.
A little bit.
Well, this is why
the
CIA came up with the term.
Earth.
Well, this is why the CIA came up with the term conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they knew that it would immediately shut up people off from you. Completely. Doesn't matter.
It's still working. It's still working.
It's right. Totally
yeah,
working.
Still working.
People
and
got that in their head.
That came from JFK. What year was that? 60 what?
63.
60 to 63.
Well, after the shooting, wasn't it? Wasn't that they started that stuff so you wouldn't ask questions?
That's when they coined the phrase, and it's still alive and kicking today.
Sickening. I'm sickening.
Or not the phrase. The label.
It doesn't matter how much evidence you present to back up your argument. You're a conspiracy theorist. That's it. We don't want to talk to you. You're done. Goodbye.
Well, Tom touched on this when he was talking about hypnotism, and this morning I watched a video on Brighteon that Eleven did, if anyone wants to watch it. It actually gives you instructions on how to open your pineal gland, But it's only like a 20-minute video, but it also goes into that being part of, that being part of the physical aspect of the hypnotism as well, is because that pineal gland is so calcified with fluoride.
Oh, yeah. I mean, That's why they've been giving it to everybody.
We have fluoride in 90% of the products we consume. 90%.
Isn't that friggin' special?
Yeah, they did this stuff.
They did a thing in California years ago, and I know this because a friend of mine has one of these filters. It's a fluoride filter. It will take I think it's like 95 or 99% of the fluoride out of the drinking water that they add into the tap water for the protection of your teeth. By the way.
Oh yes,
right.
Of course it is.
But they made these kind of filters illegal in California because the filters contain lead. They made these other kind of filters, the kind you can actually pipe it into your house, so it'll do your entire, take the fluoride out of the entire house water. But they made the fittings on the sides, the top part where you screw onto the pipes.
Yeah.
They made, well, those are not up to code in California anymore, and they never will be, so those can't be shipped to California either. It's made out of the wrong kind of material, so those can't be shipped to California. So they've been basically shutting off fluoride filters.
We can see what's going on here. It's just like the aluminum inside of the package and all the packaging, right?
Well,
no, I even had a little piece of aluminum on my toothpaste. My new toothpaste tube.
Yeah, I've seen that too. They're putting it on everything.
I don't use toothpaste anymore. I use baking soda.
Oh yeah, well that works.
Mine is a really cool one from India. I love it, but I don't know why they put that. Well, I do know why.
Well, what's good to do is you take.
They got their little hands.
You take baking soda, and in Wisconsin, this is a lot easier to do than California. But then you go outside and you pick spearmint leaves, and you grind them up.
Okay.
You grind them up, and
that's cool.
You mix it with
the.
Chew
them, like?
Well, you can chew the leaves too. They're, you know what they're good for? They're good antibacterial type of stuff in the spearmint. But you mix it with the baking soda, and you got this like really minty toothpaste. That's not coming from the store. It doesn't have hydrofluoric acid in it, and whatever name they want to call it.
I would trust that.
So,
just get all the little green pieces out of your teeth. But yeah, I would trust
that.
Are
you not brushing your teeth in California?
Yeah, I brush my teeth in California half, but I hate doing it because of the fluoride in the water.
Where are you getting your experiment?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Everybody always says it's hard water deposits. It's not. It's fluoride, you freaks.
I know what hard water deposits are because I had them at my house in Wisconsin.
You don't think it's partially fluoride? It starts out caked out like that.
Because they don't do the same thing that they do here in Wisconsin or in California. But there is a place that's about an hour north of where I live where people can you know, out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, you can tap your own water. But the problem is that the groundwater itself has a high concentration of fluoride in it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it's kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't in that area. I mean,
there's two different kinds of fluoride. One is natural and one is a sodium fluoride, right?
Well, sodium fluoride is the stuff you don't want to have.
That's the one you don't want, but the earth does produce a certain type of fluoride that is actually good, and that's, I think, where they did the sodium fluoride to try and make it seem like it's good and was able
to
spin off
that.
Well,
you know what sodium fluoride is? And I've looked this up. I've looked this up on a material safety data sheet one time and looked at the numbers on it, and it is absolutely toxic. It's a byproduct of aluminum manufacturing.
Oh wow!
It's sodium fluoride.
Think about what aluminum does to your brain.
Well, yeah. Not to mention their crop dust on us with it every day, but
yeah.
Arsenic too, right?
Arsenic is you can actually find that in nature too, but
See, you can find all these things. The counterfeits are the ones we don't want. That's just like iodized salt.
Right.
Salt the artificial
is good for
stuff.
You need salt, but you don't want the iodized one. that has been processed and bleached and iodized. That one will kill you.
Well, you don't want the one with the bromide in it either, so.
No.
Bromide. See, they used to take the iodine out of salt and substitute bromine in it instead. And what they found is that people were getting a serious lack of enough iodine in their systems, and it started causing thyroid problems and all kinds of other things.
Isn't that why they made the iodized one?
Yeah, that's why they put the iodized salt there on the market.
Yes. Oh, but it's everything is a trap. It's a bait and trap. Everything is. It's so easy to find. I love my salt from Ohio. It comes from a salt mine. It's fantastic. I can carry it in my shirt so I don't have to. Yeah, the real salt. It's so good.
Well, you can get salt out of the ocean too. So.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I mean.
Along with a little, what's a little Fukushima radiation to go along with it? It's perfectly fine.
We need our eyesight up.
Yeah, I like your idea of Nick about using vodka instead of hand sanitizer.
Well, what happens when you freeze it? It freezes the alcohol into the center because alcohol won't freeze; it won't turn to ice.
Right.
And it'll sit in the middle of this little ice block of whatever the other stuff in vodka is, and you just tap that out, and it's almost pure alcohol, and you just wash your hands with it, no problem.
Yeah. You could do surgeries with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't kill the germs; you just get some drunk.
Yeah. They all start speaking Russian.
Oh my god!
That got out of hand real fast. That was good.
Okay. All right.
But I had a chemist.
You guys are safe. I like it.
I had a guy. This guy is an actual chemist. I mean, he's got his own little lab in his house and everything, and that works for some other cosmetic companies and whoever will hire him. But I talked to him about that, and he just stopped for a second and went, rolled his eyes up and started looking at him. Yeah, that could work. Yeah, that alcohol will sanitize your hands. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Well,
you might get a DUI. You might get a drunk in public or a DUI.
I don't even buy hand sanitizer.
I just don't
buy it. I just buy like a soap that's clear. It doesn't have any, thing. It's biodegradable, so I can wash my hands and, no problem. But I will not buy the hand sanitizer. I don't like the way it feels.
No.
It makes me feel wet. So I'm not into that.
Good. Me neither.
Yeah.
Done,
yeah.
I don't
use
that either.
No.
It's unreal.
Me neither.
Unbelievable, yeah. Guys.
Yeah, they're still scrubbing the carts in front of Mother's there at the end of that song with the car wash. I mean, it's just people were one after another. All of a sudden, there's something in the air, whatever it is. They're starting to make them wipe their carts down again. They stopped for a while, and now I see them again. Mm. I don't know. What are they saying on the news? Because I don't watch it.
Yeah, I know. It's really
stirring them up again. Three masks, two masks. I see them everywhere. They're idiotic.
Yeah. I did hear this, that Biden is making it against the law to get antibiotics. Did you hear that one, Nick?
He can't speak English. He's a moron.
I know. I know. It's unbelievable. Beyond words.
Biden. How can he even be in our life at all? Look at him. He's like a nothing. A mummy face freak.
Laughable. They've got a bunch of imposters and just bad people running the country right now, and you can tell because I think of Biden's approval rating, to be honest, about a year and a half ago was about maybe 10%. They said that his approval rating is about actually 1% or 2%. That the country is in absolute, just like a standstill.
Well,
I think they're doing it by design. I think we are going to get a new government. We're going to get some kind of a new government somehow. I really don't.
Yeah, they have to.
Well, it's been said for a long time because we're in the Saturn's in Capricorn that that's supposed to happen. I've heard people have been talking about this for 10 years. So, but it sure does look like they're doing it to a fault on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
That's right.
Oh my God!
And they lied to him. They lied to him back then and told him that we were going into it. Then we were not. Another lie.
Oh, I want my buddy back on the album. That really sucks.
I've also heard. But real quick, I know we're gonna probably play a clip, but Nick. But I've also heard that there are certain people that are buying up because there's no really good music being made. Unfortunately, and they're buying the record companies are buying, trying to buy catalogs from people.
Well,
probably
music. Everything blows so hard.
The record companies that we remember, the ones that went kind of belly up when the internet hit, and people stopped signing with them all the time because they knew that the record deals were like crap for the artist. Right. Those record companies are relying heavily on the old catalogs that they have.
Right.
And believe it or not, I mean, this is the way it works. If you get signed to a record label, you put the album out, you know, your name and your face is plastered all over it and it sells a bazillion copies, you don't own any of that music.
I know, that's the problem.
And you don't have rights to that music. You get paid royalties from it, but you don't own the music. There's nothing you can do about it. The record company paid you to make the music, and you know, and so on and so on. Very few bands or groups own their own music. The Beatles are not one of them. Believe it or not, the Motley Crue is one of the groups that owns their own music, and they made a ton of money off of it doing it that way. But, you know, and it's whatever. That was the record business. But you don't hear music made the same way as it used to be. The music that comes out now is just utter garbage. And I'm not saying I don't like – oh, you know, you're just because you like the old music. And it's like, no, it's because I like good music.
I think people are agreeing with you now because there's so much old stuff that kids have never even heard that is so good.
Yeah.
You get Queen and stuff is all making Reed come back and stuff, but
yeah.
Even before
I'm a headbanger. I mean, that's the main kind of music I like is 80s heavy metal, you know, Guns N' Roses is my favorite, and Aerosmith and all of that. Go back further. I can dig anything from the 60s. I love Elvis Presley. Yeah. I can listen to Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett.
I can listen to Frank.
Okay.
A little too scratchy for me, but sandpaper for half.
There's some cool bands that just came out recently, like not too recently or kind of recently. I mean, like Manchester Orchestra is really good. They do They do all their own writing. They all use instruments. There's another one called Robbers and Cowards is really good. You just have to search around. And they're not mainstream. That's the problem.
You know what the main instrument of today's pop bands are?
The electric thing.
No, auto tune.
Yeah, the auto tune.
Oh, right. That's another thing. Fake-a-rama.
Yeah, that could make me sound like I could sing, John. Like I'll sing Eye of the Tiger and I'll sound just like him.
Oh my God, that thing's a miracle. I need one. You gotta hear something that's
I mean, punk rock. I love punk rock music too. I thought Marilyn Manson's music was really good. You know, there's a few others in there, but the crap that they're pumping out today, it all sounds exactly the same. And there's a reason for that. And being a musician, and not believe me, and not just a rock musician, I've listened to all kinds of other music. You start to pick up on patterns in songs. Okay, you know, you start to feel your way through it. In the mid, I want to say around the mid 90s, almost every song that was coming out on the radio started sounding exactly the same. And people would disagree with, oh no, that sounds different because, you know, it's that person singing. No, listen to the music and the scales and all the different stuff that there, but it all started sounding the same.
And then a new song would come out, and then all of that would start sounding, all the other songs coming out would sound exactly the same as that. And I was reading a few years later that these record companies that were pumping this crap out, they were actually, this is where it gets all 1984. They were actually using a computer to pump out algorithms that would pump out all these different songs that were based on exactly the same musical musical style.
Oh dear.
And it was just like, yeah, that's how they used to do it in the book, 1984. They would have the machines pump out the music, and it could be just about anything. And they would plaster it all over the place. Everybody would sing it, and then they would pump out another one that's almost exactly the same. And, you know, all the pros would start singing that one, and it was just like, that's all I heard. I kept hearing the same repetitive crap over. There was no innovation going on in after 1990, I want to say 96, 97.
Yeah.
There's no real innovation going on. It's all garbage for the most part. I mean, there's still a couple of good groups out there, but.
Yeah, there's some people that still have creativity, but you have to look and search for them.
Yeah. I mean, Taylor Swift is a country music artist. Really? When? When the hell was she ever country?
I think she's an Illuminati puppet.
Yeah, she's a little pop princess. Yeah, you can't tell me she didn't sell her soul to the devil.
Oh, of course she did.
Oh.
If it's a woman. That's if it's a woman. That person, let's call it.
Yeah, this is another thing, I hear there's a few videos or a few DVDs out there, Nick, that literally say that they're not who they say they are, this is another a thing out there I hate to say this, but it's a cost, it's beyond belief right now.
What are you talking about? The transgender?
Yeah, there's a few.
It's real. It's real.
Yeah, it's that they're not who they say they are. That this is a total flim flam, just like just a very scary.
You know, back in the days, I mean, because they're artists, they call them artists, but they're really actors. You're talking about, right? And back in the day, they were frowned upon as actors.
Well, look what happened to Milli Vanilli.
Right. Actors, they play two different personalities, and nobody has ever been able to respect someone that's not real.
Right. And even before the whole Milli Vanilli thing happened, look what happened to ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra, if people don't know who they are.
Right.
Jeff Lynne's band.
What did happen to them?
They went on stage. Now, don't get me wrong. These guys could actually play their own instruments. It was not that big of a deal.
That's good stuff, though.
But they went. They were at a concert. I think I want to say Detroit, but don't quote me on that. And they were on stage and they were playing. And the promoter for the show goes backstage and he's looking at all the gear and stuff. And he sees these wires plugged into this recording device. And he's like, "What the hell is that?" And it turned out that they weren't actually, when they were on stage, they weren't actually playing. I mean, they were playing, but none of their stuff was actually plugged in. And he noticed all this. He pulled the cables out of the machine. All the music died, turned up the house lights and said, "These guys are faking. All your money is now going to be refunded. They're playing to backtrack." Yeah. The ELO took a massive, massive hit on that when everybody thought they were faking it the whole time. They could actually play. People did not like to be ripped off by groups like that back in the day. If you were lip syncing, yeah. Now it's like lip syncing is a thing. That's it.
Have you seen Katy Perry getting caught so many times doing that?
No, I
lip syncing. Like, she'll be pretending like she's singing, but she's playing a banjo or something lame.
Right.
At the same time, and she'll forget that she doesn't have the microphone, and the music is still playing, but her mouth is not moving.
They have this. You can get a feed directly off the soundboard, and you can isolate any instrument up there or the singer, whoever, and they've isolated Britney Spears. Well, Britney Spears one time when she was singing, and she was so.
Yeah.
They did the same thing to Enrique Iglesias years before that.
I remember that.
But he was terrible. And they put him on the Howard Stern show. By the way, Howard Stern can kiss my ass from now on because he's a piece of garbage. He used to be funny. Now he's just a piece of crap. But
they put this
recording, you know, the straight from the board recording of Enrique Iglesias. They put it on the air, and it was just like he was all over the damn place.
I heard that. It's scary. He's been there for Halloween.
They got so his organization, you know, and Iglesias's, he got so petrified about what people would think. He killed his concert, flew all the way to New York from Italy to get on the Stern show and tell them exactly what happened. And it's like, that's the way they do it in Europe. They give you an 80%, 20%. It's 80% backing tracks and 20% you singing. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. That's just the way they do things over there. And it screws with the way you're listening to stuff, because since it's not your vocals that you're listening to, you're not hearing the same what you should be hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, he kind of got away with that. But no, it's become just this normal whatever anymore. Bands used to lose their entire careers over stuff like that.
No such thing as integrity in the 21st century.
Nope.
Integrity is gone.
It's gone. It's out of here.
It's gone.
I mean, that was one of the things I loved about Frank Zappa, too, is when he would go and play there and, you know, a lot of times when people go to concerts, they want to, I want to hear you sound exactly like the record. And he's like, get the hell out of my concert if you think that.
Well,
and he would
what you're getting into with him, though.
Yeah, but he would go up there and play, and every show he would play something a little bit different. And they asked him about it, and he said, well, because that person is never going to see that show again, and neither will anybody else. That show, the way I played for that show, was for those people in that audience that night. It's never going to happen again. It's a unique experience every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. Frank Zappa always delivered really good shows and good music. And you know,
he had gimmicks in there, but he didn't hide the fact that he had gimmicks and stuff to make the song sound.
He
did, but so what? You knew it.
Well,
he came out
against the record industry and the entertainment industry a little bit later on, and he was just like, man, it's all fake anymore. You know, what can you believe?
Oh, my
Lord. Yeah. How terrible.
He was. I liked Frank Zappa. He was a pretty awesome guy.
Yeah.
Well, he was an original for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I'm just kind of tired of the music now. It's just every guy is this high-pitched woman with a nut squeezer. I mean, I don't hear any guys' voices.
I was just talking about this with my girlfriend today, her ex-husband. She sees him every morning. He's got like an alpha wife, you know? He's the one that pays the bills. She's the one that does everything and da-da-da-da-da, which is cool. But he's running around walking the dog with a bag of dog shit in his hand and skinny jeans. And she goes, and his head, his shiny bald head is polished. It's polished, you know, because he's got to shave his head and polish it up. She goes, the glare of it is like almost blinding. He's so feminine. And I was like, yeah, I'm telling you. I don't know. Even in the 80s. I don't remember guys wearing skinny jeans. I don't remember it. I remember it more on the girls.
Yeah.
I mean, what's he going to do next? We were laughing. He's going to come out in leg warmers and an off-the-shoulder top with a side ponytail.
Right.
You know,
going
on?
That was
one
of the reasons I always hated spandex. You know, some of these glam rock band always had spandex on that, like, stuck to them like glue, and it was just like, dude, that is really, really not a good look.
No.
Well,
Where's John Wayne?
He wouldn't look good in spandex.
Oh, can you imagine?
No.
Yeah. Hi, I'm John Wayne.
There's no more heroes
really?
Out there. No more heroes. No more Chuck Norris's.
Rooster Cogburn would have a whole different look if he was in spandex.
Boy, that's a picture I don't want to go into. Yeah, but the heroes are gone. Where's the Defenders here? The Chuck Norrises and all that stuff.
They got rid of those.
They're women.
They're guys.
Women to beat up on the guys. And you know what? I've got a pretty strong masculine side to me. You know how we each have both? We both have each. And the reason why I do is because I've had no guy to do the kind of stuff that needs to be done. So I have to do that, you know? You get put in those kind of situations, and that's a product of a broken family, by the way.
Well, you get some of these girls who grew up with nothing but what brothers, you know, all they had was brothers, and they can be pretty tough too.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So it's hard to catch, you know, to be able to stay in that. I don't know. I think the masculinity in guys it's sad, but it's depleted.
It's going away. They're running around the parking lot looking for their
mask. Justin Bieber was the official death of masculinity.
I hear that he's not
pretty much closed it.
I hear strange things on that one too.
Well, everybody hears strange things.
We know what you're saying, Wendy. We know what you're saying.
Yeah,
we catch you,
know,
you on the down low
you,
there.
You know,
I mean,
really
he,
weird.
Like PC sitting down, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, all the guys in the 60s and the 70s and up to about the early mid 80s all had long hair.
I still do.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. But they were tough. They had muscles and tattoos. And they would kick ass. Where'd they all go?
Now the tattooed guys have masks on. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I do. It makes me sick.
I'm like, oh, my God. I have seen a guy on a Harley wearing a mask, and it's frightening.
I've seen it.
And you should take his Harley away. Give him a Yamaha or a Honda with training wheels on it and say, here you go. This is all you're allowed to ride anymore.
That's right. It's like Obama's bicycle.
Quite a sight.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Not pretty.
Yeah.
Some of the Harley riders around where I live in Wisconsin would not put up with any of that crap. None of them. And they're the kind of guys that wouldn't put up with any of that crap.
Right.
Well, I'm sure waiting for the gladiators to come out and against all this stuff that we're putting up with, because I don't see them. I see them going back and forth for getting their mask in the store. Oh, darling, hold on. Dumb. Give me a break.
Okay.
Well, another thing that's running rampant, no offense to those dog people, but dogs and strollers.
Oh, God, yeah. Anyway, we're on the break, everybody, so we got to cut it.
We'll be right back. Hopefully we'll have more. Play some clips, have some fun. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Granada Forum Radio Network. This is Revolution Radio. Hold on, guys.
Right.
Program. Okay. Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Franklin. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome back to the Granada Forum Radio program, guys. And this is Revolution Radio. We're going to play some clips and get on marks, have some fun. Right. And it'll be good. We're going to get some information. And we'll scare you, probably, as usual. But what can we tell you? Yep. So we got a couple good clips we're going to play, and I know Mark's coming on, so it'll be interesting.
Mark's on with us now.
Oh, Mark, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Good evening. Good evening.
Which clip do you want to play first, Mark?
Well, I want to announce something about this Antichrist probe. And he did a speech on January 10th, and it really pisses me off that he is not a Christian at all, and he's representing the church. But in a speech he did January 10th to representatives from 183 countries accredited to the Holy See, Pope Francis, get this, Pope Francis, who's not a pope, he's not a Christian, claimed that the COVID vaccine presents the most reasonable solution for the prevention of this disease. In other words, he's endorsing genocide for all the children on this planet. And this guy has to go as well as Fauci and the rest of them. And this Pope is no good. He is no good for the world. He's a disgusting disgrace.
He's the Black Pope.
He's not only Black Pope. He's the Red Pope. He's Satan's son. So,
well, that's what the Black Pope is. So.
Yeah. We want to slice it and dice it. This guy wants to get rid of all our children, and I wouldn't doubt if he's a Epstein card-carrying member as well.
You can bet on it.
Yeah, I do have something here from Paul Merrick that I wanted to play that I thought was extremely good. And it's on the safety and efficacy of ivermectin, especially in light of Fauci and Walensky talking about more boosters, and now Fauci talking about three rounds of vaccines for four-year-olds and younger. So I think the solution is to do what Paul Merrick recommends in this clip, and I'm going to play it for you guys right now.
Explain this newly proposed bill, and where is it currently in New Hampshire's Congress?
Yes, yeah, so it just went before the Health and Human Services Committee, so it was sponsored, so there's still some public testimony going on. It does have a few more hurdles to get through before it's passed, but essentially what it's going to do is it's going to make ivermectin available over the counter. And you had an incredible published doctor testify in support of this bill yesterday, Dr. Paul Merrick, and his testimony was really what we've been hearing for the last year from all the doctors that we've been interviewing and having on this network, saying that if ivermectin had been rolled out sooner as an early at-home prophylactic treatment for COVID, we would have hundreds of thousands of less deaths.
Today we're going to be talking about ivermectin. So ivermectin is a drug which has been dispensed 3.7 billion times. It's changed the face of parasitic diseases on this planet. It's probably the second most important drug ever invented. It is very safe, it's very cheap, and it's highly effective against SARS-CoV-2. And if this drug had been used more widely in this country, it could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. And we know that that's what's happened in many other countries across the world, that ivermectin is a life-saving drug for SARS-CoV-2, and it's probably one of the safest medications on this planet.
And what is your take on why there's been such a pushback against the use of ivermectin?
Oh, there are multiple reasons, and this is probably generated by big pharma and government and big corporations who don't like cheap repurposed drugs. So this is a war on cheap repurposed drugs. They want you to use expensive designer drugs, which in fact don't work.
Okay, and then as far as this bill today, can you give us a little idea of like what it's about?
Yeah, so this bill, as I understand, is to be able to dispense ivermectin over the counter, which makes a lot of sense. It's an extremely safe drug. This drug is safer than Tylenol. Let me say that again. This drug is safer than Tylenol, and people should be given access to this drug in order to prevent and treat COVID. And early treatment is absolutely critical. If you wait until the patients are symptomatic, like the NIH wants you to do, then they land up in hospital and they die.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Can you give us a brief background, though, of your history up until this point as a doctor?
Yes, so I've practiced critical care for 35 years. I'm board certified in internal medicine, critical care medicine, neurocritical care, and nutrition support. I've published over 600 papers in peer-reviewed journals, and I've treated hundreds, if not hundreds, of COVID patients. So I have a lot of hands-on expertise.
Like, let that sink in. And he's also testified at this very hearing that ivermectin is safer than Tylenol. So there is no reason whatsoever why it shouldn't be available to patients over the counter as it is in several other countries. And so we're hearing this, you know, for the last year, and I myself actually testified in favor of this bill at this hearing. I am a New Hampshire resident. And one of the things I testified about is the censorship over the data surrounding ivermectin. A lot of critics of it will say, well, there's no data that supports that. That's not true. There is a ton of data, but what we're seeing is a coordinated effort to censor that data. And I'll give you a perfect example. In June of 2020, there was a Facebook group before there was ever a vaccine where it was titled COVID Survivors. Everyone who was dealing with COVID went on there, and I was in that group having just had COVID. Everyone was talking about how hydroxychloroquine was effectively treating their COVID symptoms, and within one single day, that entire group, as it neared a million members, completely vanished and was removed. So it was completely removed. removed, and then we come to find out that Facebook teamed up with Thomson Reuters on a fact-checking mission to censor medical misinformation. Well, Thomson Reuters' CEO and director, a guy named James Smith, also happens to sit on the board of directors for Pfizer. So if there's an at-home early treatment that fixes COVID, there's no need for the Pfizer vaccine. So we're seeing a little bit of a conflict of interest here with that partnership, as well as the fact that Pfizer has continuously been sponsoring programs on MSNBC, CNN, and all these other mainstream networks. They're literally paying the news networks and sponsoring their programming. So, again, conflict of interest, and this is why only Real American Stories actually covers things like that program. There's no need for the Pfizer vaccine, so we're seeing a little bit of a conflict.
Well, sorry about that. There was a cross of videos. But anyway, the important thing is what he said about ivermectin being as safe as Tylenol and having it available over the counter.
Okay.
That's what they have in India, and that's what they have in different parts of the world where people could just go into like a CVS, buy their ivermectin, and never go to the hospital. And
put shouldn't
it back
be anyway.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, but the thing is that, you know, hydroxychloroquine, like in Africa, you can walk into a store and get hydroxychloroquine in Africa.
Yeah.
Africa,
yeah.
If you go to
I wonder if you can get it in Tijuana.
Yeah, you can get ivermectin in Tijuana.
Can you? Because you remember back in the day, we used to go down there for a lot of different things.
Yeah, you can get ivermectin in Tijuana. You just want to go to the right doctor to go to the right pharmacy.
Yeah, they have pharmacies where you don't need. We didn't need to have a prescription. You can go down there for anything. You know, back in the day, I don't know what it's like now. It's been a while. This interesting.
Well, I would go to someone like Dr. Munoz if he still has his practice in Tijuana. Because he is a world-class oncologist, and he would know which ones are there. But I also, you know, the thing about Paul Merrick is we know that Peter Corey is well-versed in ivermectin, but Pierre Corey also said that Dr. Paul Merrick is the chief scientist with the FLCC Alliance. So the main mind for the whole FLCC Alliance is Paul Merrick, because he's a brilliant scientist. He's a brilliant doctor. He failed to mention he was also professor emeritus at East Virginia Medical Center, and he is also professor there too. You know, I mean, he didn't go through all his credentials, but if you listen to Ron Johnson's panel meeting with Paul Merrick and Robert Malone and so forth, he said that all their credentials were so long that they couldn't do it in the small amount of time that they had for each one of them. And definitely that's Paul Merrick for sure. It's just outstanding, you know, that this stuff is available and they still want to push a Pfizer. They want to push a Pfizer or a Merck pill to do what ivermectin does, but it's much more dangerous to take that new pill.
Don't you think it's giving too much credibility to this whole COVID thing? To me, like, they're making it more real. So even though people think there's some kind of a, you know, savior from it and stuff, they're pushing this like it's real. I don't believe it for a second. I think it's
something
coming
from 5G. Whether it's real or not, whatever they're calling COVID, it's probably influenza and a cross between influenza and freaking pneumonia, okay?
Something you think it's frequencies, too?
And it could be using a lot of things. But what I'm saying
I think so.
I was at an event, and I talked to a guy named Dr. Patrick Porter. Okay, he's not a doctor. He's a psychologist, but he has a PhD, and he knows a lot about medicine. We were discussing it, and I said, you know, I think this whole PCR thing's a fraud. He says, well, I have two medical doctors that are good friends of mine, and they did the COVID test, and their patients came up positive. Then they did the influenza A and B tests, and they also came up positive. And you got to remember all the stuff that they're saying that are the symptoms are the same as the cold and the flu. Oh, you got a sore throat. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, you got a runny nose. You know, it's the same as the cold and the flu.
Right.
And the other thing is, look at all the COVID cases, and remember that the flu disappeared during COVID. There was no flu cases,
right? You noticed
that, too. Yeah. So what they were calling COVID was just the flu, a severe case of the flu. And then people got it, and then they did the things that would make it worse for them, masking and making them go in isolation and making them stay at home until they got so bad it was hard for them to recover in the hospital.
Yeah, keep your mask on so it recycles the thing over and over again. That's great.
Yeah, because the mask, they knew that the mask would continue to recycle all the pathogens inside your system with the mask.
Absolutely.
And you're getting like 50% back. So if you have a bacterial overload, you have a fungal overload, if you have a viral overload and you breathe into the mask, half of it's going to go back into your lungs. And they knew
so many
that
people don't
people
know that.
Sick in perpetuality. Well, yeah, that's why I don't wear a mask. That's why my kid is never wearing
a mask. Of course
not. Ever.
People wear it. They go, I'm sick. I have to wear my mask. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I got the flu.
Yeah,
I got to wear my mask.
They're wearing the mask. They're sick because they're wearing the mask.
Exactly. Right.
You know, and the sad thing is that these guys are, pushing it for little kids. I have a friend who has a 4-year-old that goes to a Catholic school, and she says, Mark, my son continuously has congestion and a runny nose, and I can't get rid of it. I go, well, get rid of the mask. Because I really do think it's the mask, And there are kids that are going and they're having lung issues because of wearing the mask.
Of course.
It's going to be more. There's going to be a lot more.
And I can say something else too, Mark. The toddlers, the 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds, 6.
Yep.
Half of the kids can't talk because they've been wearing the mask, and children learn by facial expressions and sounds and stuff.
Yep.
And they said the kids aren't talking. The kid's a 4 or 5-year-old. The kid's not talking.
Wendy.
Yeah, I can believe
it. I have a friend that's a speech pathologist. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's somebody that specializes with a master's degree in how to teach autistic children how to speak. And how to communicate.
Right.
They're making them wear masks, too.
She's
so pissed off. She refuses to. She said, there's no way I can do my job, and there's no way that these kids, autistic, can be keeping their masks on. It's not, no. And that she made headway with it.
That's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
But
no,
yeah, you're right.
All these 2, 3, 4-year-olds that can't even talk. It's a big, huge problem across the country, and they said this is just snowballed. This is only happening in parts of California. It's not happening in Arizona, in the Midwest, in the South.
Yeah.
They're not wearing masks. This is the big lie that people think in California that this is all over. No, it's not. This is Garcetti and Newsom's Scary Larry, concoction.
Yes.
And it's just I go into stores if they see anything. But as soon as they pass them, I put it down to my chin. I don't have it on. I mean, it's just. I'm sorry. They've brainwashed these people, and this is a very scary thing. But this is not going on in the most of the country. And I found out that Spain, England, France, that they're not wearing the mask. They've stopped. They're not going to take the vaccine. They know it's a bioweapon. And there's 180 countries that are fighting this. And before we got on the air, me and Nick discussed this too real quick. There's a 50-mile radius of truckers that are protesting what's going on, because that's why things are empty on the shelves, because they're not letting the truckers do their job. and enough's enough. This is almost over 2 years of this lie and the criminality of this. This just has to stop.
Well, it's worse.
Yes.
It's worse than just that. This is all up in Canada with this convoy protesting Canada's vaccine mandates. And if you cross the border, here's the thing, because there's always cross-border trucking that goes on with Canada. You know, they're one of our big trading partners here in North America. If a Canadian trucker comes down to the United States and then comes back, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks or prove all this other kind of stuff. Here's where the scary part got in, and I just found this out just a little while ago. And, okay, you've got to hear this. This is a Tucker Carlson interview with this one trucker. If I can get the thing to stop playing for a second. They are tracking people through their cell phones on whether or not they're vaxxed or not, or whether they're cleared across the border. Before they get to the border, they already know whether or not through your cell phone.
It's insane.
Okay, you got to listen to this interview. This with this truck
driver.
Throw
away your cell phone.
God almighty,
go,
please,
guys.
Get rid of these damn things. Just call them what they are. They're portable telescreens.
I have a question really quick about this trucking strike thing. I looked at a post today from a pretty legitimate person, and I don't know if this is true, but it's, remember the Illuminati card game?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this card, he posted this. On it, there's two truck drivers. One of them's holding a sign that says truckers local 111 on strike and long haul strike. And the name of the card is CFL-AIO. Although the CFL-AIO is corporate, it says, it can call a strike against any other corporation. And then, of course, it gets a 1 point this and da 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 for a direct attack to destroy any corporate groups. Is this a legitimate card? Do you remember seeing this in that deck?
No, I don't remember that one.
That was back from the 40s, I think it came out. No, 94. That was 1994 and 96, I think. Was it?
I don't remember that card, though.
I don't either. So I just
ahead of time.
Questioning the legitimacy of it, I guess.
Well, here's the thing with the... With the convoy up in Canada, it wasn't even planned to be this big. They were figuring maybe a couple hundred people that show up, that go to Ottawa, you know, make a stand, and you know, everything would kind of go away. It turned into, at this point, over a million people are headed to Ottawa. The convoy they got the numbers. The convoy is 50 miles long. Coming from Vancouver all the way to Ottawa. If people don't know what that is, Vancouver is all the way on the west coast of Canada. Ottawa is on the east coast, just above New York.
Right.
So this is how far these people are traveling. This is almost 3,000 miles that these people are traveling, and it was kind of like really not that big of a thing, but it went viral on the internet, and people started joining it, and that's just the people who are driving. You know, and it's not just the big rig trucks. There's people in their pickup trucks and their vans and all these other kind of people. And there's people on the roads waving signs and flags at them all over the place. People in Canada have had enough. Rich, I hope you're listening.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, here's an interview. This is on Tucker Carlson. He's doing an interview with one of the truckers, one of the organizers of this whole thing up there.
Okay,
and.
Cool.
Again, he was talking about how, you know, when you go through the border checkpoint, you have to show, like, your passport or your phone that says with the electronic stuff on it. And said, no, you don't got to worry about it. We picked up your phone about 10 minutes ago. You're good. Or
wow,
something.
How they know
they're using your – remember what Edward Snowden said. They're using your phones to spy on you. So
throw your phones away.
Yeah, no kidding. Got them. Or put them in a Faraday cage or something.
Get a satellite phone. Get a magic jack. Get whatever.
Yeah. So here's that interview with Tucker Carlson.
Benjamin Dichter is a spokesman for the Freedom Convoy. He's going to join us tomorrow, but he joins us now. Mr. Victor, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Tell us why you're doing this. What's the point of this convoy?
Well, it's simple. I mean, we've seen Canada go from a country of Justin Trudeau's promises of sunny ways into dark authoritarian oppression and control.
Yes.
So we want two things. We want to get rid of the vaccine mandates and the passports. And the passports is that's a really concerning one. Yesterday, it was my first time ever crossing the border in my truck with my digital passport. And I held my phone up to the border agent to give him the QR code. You know what he said to me? Oh, it's okay. I don't need it. So what do you mean you don't need it? So, oh, your phone already popped up on my screen and is correlated with your passport. Can you think of that? Can you believe that? So they know everybody who's coming up to the border before they're there, and they're tracking them. Now, maybe it's outlandish, but what's to prevent the government from introducing that across Canada and not limiting it to just borders? And you guys are getting it as well, and you can thank us for it, because apparently, according to our sources within the media and within government, we have some close ties. Apparently, the Trudeau government, the Biden administration had no interest in it, but the Trudeau government lobbied and requested the Biden administration to introduce this. We don't know why. We don't know the terms of the deal. Are they going to be trading intelligence back and forth between Canada and the U.S. tracking cell phones? Of course, we have no idea. But this is where we're going if this does not stop. That's why this is the line. This is where it ends.
Well, I mean, two things. One, you know, you drive a truck for a living. Your country and ours, you know, thousands of multiple credentialed intellectuals who are paid to think about this stuff. Why has it fallen to you to connect the obvious dots? God bless you for that. And second, do you think that you can stop this with your trucks?
Why does it follow us? Because we're the ones who actually suffer the repercussions. You know, we often see, and we talk about Alberta being Canada's energy sector. I was in Alberta and Saskatchewan just before COVID. And Tucker, I spent a lot of time traveling through Latin America. I couldn't believe it. It looked like a third world country. It scared me. And that was before COVID. So now these people who've had their industries crushed, their lives crushed, COVID comes along, and now they're treated like insects by the bureaucracy.
Exactly, by insects. Wow. Benjamin Dichter, I hope you will come back. I found that really inspiring, your bravery, and the way that you explained it as clearly as you did. Thank you very much.
You're a hero to all of us, and don't thank me. Thank all those guys who are on the road right now fighting for our freedom.
Amen.
So that, again, what that shows is that this whole COVID thing was never about virus. That they can't, number one, they can't even prove exists.
Let's go
there. But it was never about... It was never about keeping you safe or healthy or anything else. It's a means to usher in a control mechanism over everybody to usher in what we all refer to as the New World Order. They want to know where you are, what you're doing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and make sure that you're thinking properly, approved thoughts, reading approved literature, and watching approved media all the time. And don't you dare think for yourself.
That's it, man. In a nutshell,
Just hold on to your hat and get ready for the book burning.
Oh, they've already been getting rid of some of those.
They've already been doing that. They've already been doing that.
They got COVID. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's what everything's digital, yeah.
I mean, you want to hear the ultimate in irony? A university put a trigger warning on the book 1984.
Oh, come on.
That's stupid. Well, that's funny, actually, because
they really did it.
People in their 60s, and I think it even went further than that, they were required to read that book in high school.
They should be required to read it now.
Well, I don't know when they stopped it, but that's part of the predictive programming. They were required to read that book. So now they were like, oh, we can't say we didn't tell you so. They all thought it was fiction. I saw a bumper sticker on one of my neighbor's cars the other day. It says, make Orwell fiction again.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that
kind of
before.
Funny. Have you seen that? I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, that's great.
Great.
But that's from an older lady, too. She
read
that
book. But think about it, though. It, it's funny to us, but it, you know, but think when you look at it and you take it from another point of view, it's not so funny because that's exactly what they're doing.
So the kids are offended by it? The kids are offended by it?
No, but make Orwell fiction again. It's, you want to make it fiction again because right now this is the plan that they're going with.
No, of course. That's what it was saying. That's exactly what it was saying. But I'm asking, like, the college kids that are being triggered by 1984, what's triggering them so much?
I don't know.
Is it just a classic denial?
They just put a trigger.
Is it a denial of reality?
Might contain words that are offensive or, you know, whatever. Everything is offensive now, so who knows what it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
I think it's a denial of reality, really.
After you listen to that guy, that trucker guy from up in Canada that we just listened to on the Tucker Carlson interview, Justin Trudeau, by the way, who is in hiding right now. He's scared to come out because of all the million people coming to Ottawa.
He's not shopping for pink socks.
Probably. He's probably shopping at Victoria's Secret for himself. But when he first heard about the truckers and everything, he came out and he said, well, you know, you guys can't really – the only reason you're doing it and you shouldn't be doing it is you have unacceptable views. Okay, unacceptable to who?
To who? To your pink socks? To your dog in the stroller? In the skinny jeans?
Oh, dear God.
Dogs are wearing skinny jeans. St. Bernard, picture it. Beautiful.
Here, hold on. This is what Trudeau had to say. You got to listen to this.
Small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa or who are holding unacceptable views that they're expressing do not represent the views of Canadians who have been there for each other, who know that following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country.
That's how out of touch this guy really is.
Is he speaking from the basement?
I don't know. There's a pretty much a blank wall behind him. And by the way, now how they have these like interpreters now that, you know, they basically are having spastic fits doing sign language behind who's ever speaking.
Yes.
You know, they're having an epileptic seizure going, whatever. So, you know, I think it would be better to get Garrett Morris, you know, from Saturday Night Live doing the heart of
that'd be great.
Yeah, screaming it out loud.
The person doing the sign language, by the way, some people who do sign read sign language, they actually lip read too. The person behind him doing it is wearing a mask.
He's not.
She is. And she's only about 3 feet away from him. So where's the social distancing nonsense going on there, you know?
Well,
the whole thing is falling apart.
Unacceptable
they're
tripping
over their wieners.
Well, look how he tried to marginalize all these people, all these Canadians, saying, you know, this fringe element. I don't know. I think a million people taking out their time to march on Ottawa is not a fringe element anymore.
No.
Especially in freezing weather.
No kidding.
You know how cold it is up there now?
Yeah.
It's snowing.
It's snowy. Well, it's in the negatives.
Speaking
of
the fraud of this,
it's in the negatives.
There's a Urso clip here that I wanted you guys to hear where he speaks about the fraud, and then I want you to think about what Reiner Fuhlmich said, that once they demonstrate that the PCR test was all false positives, that this whole thing has been a fraud from the very beginning. But here's Urso's take on the mandates being a fraud.
Shocker.
And more injury than every other vaccine over the last 30 years.
Hello again, you're on Monica Kirilenko with the New Americans. We're still in Washington, D.C. when we attended D.C. Demand Days, an American homecoming rally, and we speak to brilliant doctors who save lives. And Dr. Richard Ursa is one of them. Doctor, thank you for everything that you do. It's such a pleasure to meet with you in person. And Doctor, tell us, how do you treat your COVID patients?
So it's been 2 years. You know, it started off, I'm basically in drug design. My background, 11 years in a lab, invented an FDA-approved drug. And right away we went to work in like February 2020, trying to figure out what we could do to help with the pandemic. It became very clear by the end of February that it was mainly blood clots and inflammation that were creating death. And so we really focused on what we could do with that. I started using steroids right away after day 8 when I knew the virus was probably dead. So historically, you know, you kind of think in big categories, and you look at the big categories, and then you find the things that might work. And so it was pretty easy in this case to think of anti-inflammatories, things that stop blood clots. And then we were trying to attack the virus. That's a little trickier because, you know, we don't have – each virus is a little unique. But thankfully, we had 60 years of data on the coronavirus families, and so there were some good lead candidates, and that's how we started. So at the end of the day, what I tell people now is – cancer cells and viruses are very unique. They use our machinery. And so we have to use a multi-drug cocktail to beat cancer and viruses. We don't use one single drug. One drug does not work because viruses and cancer cells are very good at slipping around things. I have a big background in oncology also. So bottom line is it's a multi-drug cocktail, and you use multiple modalities to try to attack these viruses. That's how you become successful. And then you look at the downstream mechanisms of inflammation, breathing problems, blood clotting, and we have plenty of drugs for all those things.
So, Doctor, what do you think of the effectiveness of the vaccines that are being mandated to millions of Americans and who face, you know, terrible repercussions, being kicked out of college, being fired from their jobs? What do you think of that?
So I'm not a civil libertarian, okay? I'm a doctor. So I think of the effectiveness of the vaccine. Number one, they're not very effective. Do they cause inflammation? They cause a lot because the spike protein is 95% of what causes COVID-19. So you're literally giving the spike protein, which is the most inflammatory portion of the 29 proteins in the spike, and it's 12% of the genome, and it causes 95% of the issues. That's not a smart strategy, all right? So that's number one. Number two, now that we've had the vaccines out, what do we know? Which we already knew ahead of time. Because, again, chemotherapy, we had lipid nanoparticles. They were going to bone marrow, brain, ovaries, adrenals. So do lipid nanoparticles wrapped around a spike protein. They go to brain, bone marrow, ovaries, adrenal glands. That's what they do. We do not need inflammation in adrenal glands or bone marrow or brain or ovaries, for that matter. It doesn't make sense. It's a poor strategy. There's better strategies for vaccines. People ask me sometimes, are you an anti-vaxxer? I'm like, no, I'm looking for good quality data. My kids have had, I'm six, they have 300 vaccines. We get them when they, you know, if they make sense. I don't know anybody really. I'm sure people have been injured, but I don't know anybody who's been injured by the flu vaccine or some of these others. But I know a lot of people that have been injured by this vaccine because it's going in all the wrong places, and it's an inflammatory compound. So why would we want to mandate those things? They don't stop transmission. They don't stop infection. We know that now. We have the data. Started out, they were 100% effective. Now we know we need boosters, and we need another booster. So at the end of the day, we've taken something that's incredibly inflammatory, and now we're going to take it 4 times in a year. It's insanity.
So you say that these vaccines are not safe. They cause inflammation because the spike protein goes into the different parts of your body. And we're seeing numerous vaccine victims, and many of them are present and speaking here today. So what's the stopping condition? How many people do you need to die or get injured for these vaccines just to be pulled and just recognize that they're unsafe to use in general public?
I think the proof is in the pudding. They've literally proven themselves to be inflammatory and unsafe. For people who don't know, they are more deaths, more injuries than all the other vaccines over the last 30 years in this 1 year of vaccination with this one vaccine. So literally, let me say that again. This vaccine has caused more death and more injury than every other vaccine over the last 30 years. I mean, that's just a data point. It's not my opinion. It's a data point.
So how much do you have to die, people have to die for the U.S. government to admit that they should not be administered at all?
So I think one of my goals as a physician is to present the data, right? So that way people have information. So I don't really like to give, you know, mandate opinions. Like I said, I'm not a civil libertarian lawyer. So my goal is to let people know that these things don't make sense scientifically. It's a scientific fraud to say that 800,000 people should have died. We had plenty of medicine. It's a scientific fraud to say that vaccinated immunity is better than natural immunity. It's completely absurd and intellectually arrogant. So I don't know how there's 146 studies showing natural immunity is better. One major one, 13 times better than vaccinated immunity. It is what it is.
So even though that's lots of information, many studies that you just mentioned, many people are still afraid of COVID. And what's your message to them?
So the fear is part of the messaging. So we've had really bad messaging. And the messaging center is, of course, Washington, D.C. It's been incredibly well coordinated. It started in the beginning. I was shocked when people were telling me not to talk. I mean, I'm very experienced, and I don't mind having a talk with Dr. Malone or Dr. McCullough, but to have a person who is not a scientist tell me I should not talk is just silly. So, I mean, I don't read the newspaper. I haven't had a TV for 40 years, so I hear things sometimes, and I just think to myself, I'm glad I don't listen to it. I literally spend most of my time doing medicine and with my kids. And so, to me, it's an absolute absurdity that I have to be silenced over something that is just data. The truth, as Malone said today, the truth, set it free, it'll, you know, and people will find it, you know. Let's not silence the truth.
Yeah, one last question, Doctor. I'm thinking that, you know, they're trying so hard to silence you and other brilliant doctors who were speaking here today that maybe it will just, you know, cause an adverse effect, a kind of a Barbara Streisand effect, and many people will just be interested. Well, what are they trying to hide? Do you think that this will be happening anytime soon, or is it already happening?
Say it one more time, because I got lost on the Barbara Streisand thing.
Yeah, no worries. So they just try so hard to silence you that maybe the people will just start wondering that why are they trying so hard? Is there maybe a message that I should know about?
That's so true. I mean, I think that's, you know, when you know, that's a great point. I mean, when you silence people, why? I mean, why are you silencing? Because we're dangerous information. We're doctors. We've been doctors, most of us up there, we're up doctors for 30-plus years. We've been taking care of patients for 30-something years. None of us have been controversial. None of us have ever spoken out. We've never been – okay, let me just say this for everyone, okay? We don't want to be here. We have to be here because – we literally have the worst messaging coming out. It's a complete fraud, and that's why we're here, because somebody has to do it.
Beautiful.
I like that.
That was beautiful.
That's Dr. Urso, and that was at the January 23rd rally with Robert F. Kennedy, Robert Malone, and a bunch of other people. He was able to do that without being called an insurrectionist because they had over $600,000 worth of security there. So they played their game good, you know. And also if you go through the clips, you'll see that there was a giant tour bus with wanted posters, and it had Fauci's picture, it had Bill Gates' picture, it had Walensky's picture, it had Klaus Schwab's picture, and it had Rothschild's picture and a few other people. But that tour bus was driving all around Washington, D.C. as the rally was going on.
Yeah. See, I'm on all
and
the buses.
I don't believe there was one arrest made because their security was so good there, you know, and they were well set up there. They did a lot of speaking. It reminded me of how Martin Luther King was set up when he did his speeches there. So, the amazing thing is he clearly says the whole thing about the vaccines is a fraud. But the other thing is that I'm curious that they're not calling the vaccine a bioweapon. Not enough of them are calling it a bioweapon. Zelenko's calling it a bioweapon.
I like the way he called it. He said to not look at the data is intellectually arrogant.
Arrogant. Well, that's
intellectually arrogant.
That describes to a T Walensky, Fauci, and all the others in all the three-letter agencies.
And
right?
anyone else that's echoing the news, too. And I love the way you said, I haven't had a TV in 40 years. I spend my time with medicine and my kids. I can't believe how ridiculous it's gotten. Yeah, it's all a fraud. Fear is the thing, message.
When he called it arrogant to not look at all the data, it's not just arrogant, it's completely dishonest also.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
It's dishonest. And Fauci, while already known as a liar to begin with, he completely dismisses and a psychopath. He completely dismisses any data that goes against what he's pushing. Look at what, and he tries to spin the argument around. Look what he did to Rand Paul. Look what he did to anybody else. If you question me, you're questioning the science. I mean, that's like an absolutist kind of statement right there.
And yes, I am.
Yeah, but you know what? People don't ask one of the most basic questions. How do you define science? The word science itself only means to know. To know what? To know that there's a consensus on something? To know that consensus can change with a group of people that create the consensus? So that's all it means. But they use this word, the science, as though it's some holy grail thing that only certain people have access to.
One way.
Well, that's the new religion.
I had a microphysicist, or I forget what he was. I met him at a rally in Wisconsin last year and had him on my show. And this guy's an actual scientist. And we were talking about, what do you guys do? It's like, you ask questions. There's never a consensus when it comes to science. Because what you should be doing is asking questions all the time. It doesn't even matter if you proved something, people are still going to question it. And what a lot of these political scientists, and you have to call them that because that's what they are anymore, who are pushing the vaccine, or the ones who work for these big drug companies, they're not asking questions anymore. This is what he told me. They're not asking questions. They're just doing what they're told.
Well, yeah, when your paycheck comes from the people who control the narrative, you're going to do what you're told.
And I always ask people this question, too, when they say, well, you're not following the science. And so my question to them is, would that be the same science that says there's more than two genders? Is that the science you're talking about?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
It's the same science that says that you're non-binary.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to break the news to you, but I'm pretty much am, so...
Yeah, well, the point is, when anyone ever asks you, do you follow the science or do you believe in the science, I always have one question for them. I ask them, have you read the science?
There you go. That's a good comeback.
But what their argument that they're trying to make is the same one that came up with climate change and global warming when they started relabeling global warming as climate change. You can argue against global warming because all the data is against it. So when they when they couldn't make that stick, they said climate change. We changed it to climate change. You know why? Because you can't argue against climate change because the climate has been changing for 4 billion years. It's always going to keep changing. Yeah. It's never going to stay static.
So then they put it over for probably 50 years.
Right, but then they're turning around and saying doing the same thing with science. You don't question the science, do you? It's like because actually, I do question the science.
You have to define what the science is.
Right. Well, they keep saying the science is settled.
That itself is a total arrogant lie because the science will never be settled because science is ever evolving and mutating.
Exactly.
You know, one
that's
day
what I'm saying.
They're going to say this is the science and it's a fact, and the next day they're going to go, oh, that's not the science anymore. This is the new fact. This is the new science. Science is never it's never stationary. It's always changing.
Right. That's the whole point. Right. That's why when you say the science is settled, it's like, well, that's a real shortcut to thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a real shortcut.
The proper way to say that is the science is settled for now.
Right.
Not
and
forever.
Wait till something new comes up.
Yeah, it's always settled for now in the present. It's never settled for eternity. Now, the only thing that would be settled in the science for eternity is that men are men and women are women. That'll be for eternity. Now they can slice it, dice it, redefine it, but the facts will remain.
I'm so totally offended.
Really
I think I'm going to go in the middle of the street and scream my brains out for no reason.
What's really unfortunate is that there is a type of science that is 100% accurate and true at all times, and it's called alchemy. It's natural science. And that is 100% all based on nature and how that works and how we've gotten so far from that. It's just another counterfeit of the natural God-given, God-created world that we live in that is 100% doesn't lie. It doesn't lie at all. You can always find the truth in it, always has answers no matter what. It's not always evolving. It's always the same, and it's alchemy. And what do they call that now? They call it hocus pocus. It's like everything they counterfeit. Everything they counterfeit is a lie, and then nature tells the truth. Period.
Well, the thing I was going to leave you guys with is that, you know, when the Human Genome Project came out, it said, well, we're going to identify every genome, every gene, and we're going to be able to discern how to treat every kind of illness that relates to the genome. And then someone like Bruce Lipton comes along and says, no, that's never going to do anything because, you know, a regular worm only has two different genes less than us, and it's a worm. And then he went on to prove that it's your epigenetics that determine the outcome of your genes, not the genes themselves. And at that point in time, the science was all saying, oh, it's the genes, it's the genes, it's the genes. And then, no, Bruce Lipton comes along and he says, no, it's the environment of the genes that affects their expression. And then the whole science changed on the genome. So that's how science evolves continuously. That's why when anyone says, do you believe in the science, I say I believe in the science at the present time as it presents itself, not for eternity.
Well, the way they're using it with this is absolutely ridiculous. I don't even see an argument. Do you?
Well,
we don't care about Fauci. Anybody that was listening to Fauci really needs to take a fluoride challenge cleanse.
I can confidently say that there was probably about 180 million people that did listen to Fauci.
Well, that's a shame.
You know.
Well, there you go. There's your news for you.
The mass formation psychosis worked very well on those people, and they swallowed the line and sinker. And who did
they
listen to? Predominantly Fauci and Walensky and
Weaselface.
Becerra, I think his name is, for Human Health Services, who's not even a doctor or a scientist. He's a freaking lawyer, and he heads the HHS. You know, that lady who's underneath him, Rachel Levine, or that man lady or whatever it is, that's working under him, you know, the one that doesn't know who she is. But, yeah, you know, we got a tranny that's underneath him, and then we got him who's a lawyer who knows nothing about medicine who just makes the policy, and it's really crazy. Because he was asked by Rand Paul, are you a doctor? He said, no. He goes, are you a scientist? He said, no. He says, what the hell are you doing heading Health and Human Services? He goes, well, I'm listening to all the data, and I'm a lawyer. the worst thing we could have there is a lawyer. We need at least a legitimate scientist, someone who would understand. So, you know, it's pretty ass backwards how they're running this stuff.
Well put. I love that term. Yeah, we are.
And there you have it.
Sure.
And the,
yeah.
the last bit of frightening news is that Fauci wants to get 4-year-olds and under 3 doses of this vaccine.
Well, which it'll is, be the dumbass parents that fall for that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm still waiting for them to figure out how to vaccinate the unborn in utero, you know?
They're
doing that?
Because it's probably going to happen.
Probably.
They're doing it through the pregnant parents. They already are doing that. I had to practically have a barricade over my daughter when she was giving birth. They wanted to fill her with so many vaccines. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you pushing vaccines when she's trying to push out a kid?
Yeah, I know.
And I think it goes right into the it was 5 minutes before her birth.
And look, and
not even just
with this this COVID nonsense thing. Because me and Wendy have been talking about this for years. How many vaccines these kids get between 0 and 6? Years
uh-huh.
old
oh,
has
know,
gone from like 72. Has gone from like what 4 or 5 to like 85 vaccines.
Yeah,
and then they couldn't figure out how come there was a spike in autism.
Right.
I wonder why the kids can't learn, pay attention. They can't focus.
Well, all kinds of things. The peanut allergies, colon problems.
The Tourette syndrome.
Yeah.
Let's just
wrap this up, because the biggest thing is, since Fauci became director of NIAID, we now have the sickest group of children in this nation in history.
His entire career has been about destroying the immune system all the way back from AIDS up until now.
And humanity.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to get adults. It's another thing to go after innocent children.
Right. I just got to clarify one thing, because there's a conversation going on in the chat room about some confusion of whether or not I have taken the vaccine. I don't know. Somebody got something mixed up. But here's the thing. No, I have not. No, I will not. And if anybody tries it, I have a needle too, and it makes a bigger hole than theirs does. And it moves a lot faster, and I don't have to be next to use it. That's how that goes.
Right. It leaves a little smoke.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, hold on. Thank you for joining us. We'll be on Tuesday. Thank you so much.
Guys, that was a great show. Thank you.
Is the truth jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law, Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan Baker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution.